Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, hello, and welcome to the place where sins are real, the guilt is strong, and the forgiveness is always found from Matt, but no one else.
Yeah.
Particularly.
Yeah, that's good.
And if you're ever, you know, in trouble and in court, and you find that Matt's on the jury, then, boy, you're in luck.
Oh, jury duty. I, for one, can't wait to be on jury duty. I've never had it.
I don't think they'd ever have you on jury duty.
I think there's a chance that that might be the reason why
and
I've never
that's been. The reason yes. why we're not having you on our jury, yes, says the
reason.
Judge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway, Sister Susie is not in the pub. She's in the studio.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew is in... What t-shirt is that?
AC/DC
t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Sister Holly is in her old money top.
Yes, very old money.
It's a top which says class.
Mm-hmm. Thank
yes,
you.
It does. What is it? How would you describe it?
Well, it's a sort of, it says Boston Tennis Club on
yes.
it.
Yes. Why does it say that?
I don't know. It's just on the top, isn't
it? I think it's
yeah.
Tennis Club in Boston. That would be my guess.
It was Cash for Kids back in 1991.
Oh, was it?
That's
yeah.
A special,
yeah,
yeah. Special yeah. top. Yeah. Later on in the world's number one podcast, mm-hmm. which is what you're a part of, thank you very much, you're going to be popping over to the parish notice board where your glowing five-star reviews and curious correspondence live. We're going to pause just briefly and open a stinky folder, which is got the Not For Broadcast stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And of course, it wouldn't be the Confessions podcast without this week's offering of Confessions from the Drive Time Show, the award-winning and much-loved Drive Time Show on the hugely rated and much-loved Greatest Hits Radio.
Yeah, I'm glad you've emphasised that.
Nice.
Yeah. It's contract renegotiation time.
Yeah. Yes.
Rog is sharing some tales from a charity banger rally across the world in... plants and birds and rocks and things. Nigel's school song confession, no more pencils, no more books, no more teachers, dirty looks. That was an Alice Cooper.
Yes, of course. Obviously. Yeah, school's out, yeah.
Huggy Bear's confession, good heavens, Miss Sakamoto, you're beautiful.
What? What's that from?
Thomas Dolby.
Oh, right, okay.
She blinded me with science.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
But first, we put on our posh clothes and headwear. Or hats, I suppose, to join Gladys at a wedding for her confession, I'm flying high like a bird in the sky. And it's not about drugs.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Gladys. Brother Simon and the Confessional Collective, my confession arises from an event in 2010. More specifically, an occasion of celebration, namely my niece's wedding. My niece, for the purposes of this, let's call her Beverly, asked me to deliver the readings during the ceremony, and I was honoured to do so. In preparation for the big day, I bought a pretty pale blue dress, and, unusually for me, I decided to dress it up by finding a piece of suitably subtle headwear to complete the ensemble. I found a delicate fascinator made up by a collection of navy and charcoal coloured feathers.
Yeah, I know them well.
You know,
very
nice.
Good. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Matt's got loads.
Okay, beautiful. So the wedding day arrived and it was a moving experience with the groom and best man looking dapper in morning suits and my niece looking radiant to beautiful. It makes it sound like a sliding scale. Sometimes she was radiant, sometimes she was beautiful in white, and my other niece looking beautiful as matron of honour. Isn't that an clumsy phrase, I always think. You want to be my matron of honour? No, thanks.
Yeah, anyway.
The wedding was being videoed and the photographer and his assistant were darting around, clicking and recording all the details of the event, creating a record of the memories for us to look back on in the years to come. The wedding ceremony was officiated by a retired minister who was well known as a producer of religious broadcast services on Radio Ulster on Sunday morning. He was certainly the type of person accustomed to running a tight ship, as each broadcast of a Sunday service required a cool head and effective control of congregations who were unaccustomed to being on the radio. The time for me to give the readings came and went uneventfully, and the service moved to the point where the minister asked for the rings to pronounce a blessing upon them. Now, this is where you're about to realise what's going to go wrong.
Okay.
Now, one of the unique features of this wedding party was the best man, and he was a falconer. And
he had a
snowy white owl that was trained when released to return to the owner's sleeve. The plan was that the beautiful, majestic owl would carry the wedding rings enclosed in a red velvet pouch from where another handler had been holding him in the gallery of the church. That is not what happened, Father Simon. It is safe to say instinct kicked in. The owl was duly released, and instead of alighting on his owner's sleeve as planned, the bird flew down into the body of the church towards his owner, but then swooped past the handler beyond the minister, who by now was raising his robe-clad arms in a self-defense stance with his service book and demeanor now in complete disarray. I'll tell his reverence. The owl had not finished, though. You see, Father Simon, taken aback, I was surprised to see the owl flying straight towards me with talons outstretched in prey-snatching mode. There must be something in the saying, wise old owl, as I could see, as if in slow motion, the owl seemingly recognizing it had mistook the bundle of dark feathers on my fascinator atop my head. It was not some roadkill that it could have as its next nibble. So thankfully it swerved at the last moment and settled very briefly on the pew next to me before taking off again, flying past the vicar. He was all a tumble and he alighted on top of the organ. Time for the organist to try a few bars of All Things Bright and Beautiful, and we were off again. As it did a few laps of the church, the assembled congregation, family and friends were by now in fits of laughter, while the wedding party looked on in disbelief at the mayhem that had just happened. The best man finally retrieved the owl and the red velvet pouch with it containing the rings. The minister managed to compose himself and restore order, and the wedding service eventually drew to its happy completion. However, I obviously have to seek forgiveness from my niece and her husband and the minister for unintentionally throwing the key part of the wedding ceremony, which they had planned so carefully, into complete disarray because the owl thought my fascinator was roadkill.
Oh.
Until it didn't, and then it worked out what was happening. But, you know, you are definitely asking for trouble if you have the rings to be delivered
yes.
by a wild bird.
Mm.
Anyway, Sister Susie's going to speak first on this one.
Well, yeah, I do think it's slightly... You just don't know what they're going to do, do they? What do they say? Don't work with children and animals. And I think, you know, there's a reason for that, really. And, you know, the fascinators, I also don't really understand. But, you know, I'm sure it looked lovely and it didn't look like roadkill at all, but it obviously confused the owl.
It did.
And I'm not really sure what she did, though, here, Gladys, because it wasn't her fault, really. And I'm feeling quite kind today, so I'm going to forgive.
Brother Matthew, what do you
yes,
say?
Definitely going to forgive. As Susie points out, it's not Gladys's fault. She's wearing the fascinator. Not everyone's choice, but she has to go to a wedding with the fascinator.
But it is her fault.
It's definitely not her fault. It's the fault of the best man, making it all about him. Typical falconer, thinking the world revolves around you and your owl.
Why do
you
typical?
Keep it? Yes, yeah, no, they're all like that in my experience. Keep it in your pocket next time, sunshine. And my point exactly.
Yes.
So once again, I'm right, and for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
It's that logic that makes you the star that you
it
are
is.
Today.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
What was going on there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, but it made sense, didn't it? Everyone nodding along there in the studio. So yeah.
I thought you had a bleed on the brain at one stage. What?
Yeah.
Do we need to call them?
Yeah.
Is there a medic in this building? Is there a radio nurse?
We should have a button.
Yeah.
Button press now.
Quick. He's gone again.
Yes.
Matt needs help. Anyway, so mostly forgiveness on the people's verdict for Gladys, including this podcast exclusive one from Andy.
Completely forgiven, and under the circumstances, Gladys got away lightly. I went to a wedding where a trained bird was employed to deliver the rings, and unfortunately, the congregation's loud roar of shock at the arrival, in one case a shriek of horror, startled the bird so much it spattered the front row of pews, oh my goodness, and the bride's dress, she wasn't happy. Andrew in sunny Chippenham, kiss, kiss, kiss. Thanks, Andrew. Love you also. But yes, bit of bird spattering.
He didn't
there.
Say that he loved us.
It is. Just at the end, Andrew in sunny Chippenham, kiss, kiss, kiss. So,
kiss, kiss, kiss doesn't mean love I love you.
I think I don't send kiss, kiss, kiss to anyone I don't love. So,
so if I accidentally put a kiss at the end of a text,
oh my goodness,
would that be
we
a
are getting HR in here. So fast.
More to the point, what we've learned is if you're getting married and there's a ring thing going to happen.
Yeah, don't let a bird do it.
Don't never ever employ a bird, a hawk, an eagle, a budgie.
Dogs.
Parakeet.
Some people do get their dog to do it.
Well, at least
the
dog is trainable, you know, and might do what it, and it's on the ground.
But still might get spooked.
Yeah. Also, it might parp and...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Imagine you've spent... I mean, a wedding dress is...
A lot of money.
A four-figure deal, isn't it? And then a bird comes in and... Yes. Does a whoopsie.
Does a whoopsie on your dress.
Some mothers indeed.
That's not a very good thing. Anyway, let's dust off the parish notice board. The place where community spirit meets wild chaos. Q Matthew.
Yes, stand by for the five-star action. Five stars, says Edinburgh. Says, would give six stars if Brother Matt gave out penance. Dear Father Simon and the Consistently Contrary Collective, the original Confessions podcast was one of the first that I regularly listened to, but I became a lapsed podcast consumer and shunned the format when everyone decided to record, digitise and publish every thought that entered their heads on a weekly basis. Oh, dear. Okay, the get back on track, says Edinburgh. Delighted to say that Confessions is still hilariously funny, delightfully irreverent, and must have enough material in the back catalogue should any comedy writers wish to resurrect some 1970s and 80s British sitcoms. Five stars is an easy rating, although I was tempted to go with four to see if the openly broadcast threat to pop round and have a word was acted on. Was a bit worried that the habit-wearing hitman would pay a visit and discover that I still had the heating on at times in early April. Well, that's not on either. Speaking of brother, all is forgiven, Matthew. I would award six stars if you started to hand out penance. May the listeners long continue to seek contrition. May the listeners long continue to... That didn't make any sense at the end. But well done, Eddie.
Sight reading. That was sight reading.
It was.
Right, if only Eddie had checked through his work before he handed it in.
But Jen Roberts says, absolutely five stars. Holy collective. As to wanting proof of not being able to listen on a daily basis, I do work for the emergency services as an emergency call handler in Norfolk. After a 12-hour shift helping the great British public, hashtag emoji hand on face, your podcast on the drive home make me laugh out loud so much I am at serious risk of requiring the emergency services to dig me out of a hedge after falling so much. Hashtag emoji.
Laughing so much.
Absolutely five stars and the explosion emoji. You are keeping me sane. Love you all. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
It's actually
you.
A glowing star emoji.
It is. Mm, yeah. Yes, that's right, says Jen.
And she actually does love us.
She does love us because she says that quite
we
right.
Love her.
We love her. Well done. And the Galloping Goof says, five-star review. Thank you, Matt and the team. Sorry, I mean Simon and the team. Having found you back in the podcast list has been a delight, brightening my day whilst I'm supposed to be working. Yes.
Thanks, Galloping Goof.
Wow.
Anyway, so thank you very much for those entertaining contributions which Matt handpicked.
Yeah, I did. They're all there.
Even if you hadn't read them first.
No.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk should you wish to chip in. Susie, what notice do you have from the board?
I've got this from Tom, who says, afternoon, posse of penitents. I've been meaning to get in touch since the discussion of D&V a few weeks ago, particularly regarding the subsequent nicknaming of Yarfing, which I've never heard that word before, as Huey Lewis and the Voms.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Surely, surely, we must grasp eagerly at the lower-hanging fruit that is Huey Lewis and the Spews.
That's good.
I'm sure Matt would agree that any and all opportunities for puns must be taken in life.
Much
love and best wishes, Tom, who likes to search through our archive. And he said, P.S., another gem from the Dark Side's back catalogue, in the confession about a newly married couple visiting a Turkish hammam, all composure was lost at the line, firstly, he washed and buffed my husband thoroughly.
I remember that one.
Yes, I do.
Oh my goodness, yes, I remember that one. You couldn't make it through that one.
It was troublesome.
I think.
I'd have made it through if I'd been on my own, but being with other people is always the problem.
That's very good.
Sadly, we can't access that archive because we've been locked out.
Yes.
DG Bartlett 22. Send us a picture of what looks like a cycle maintenance video on Blue Sky. Basic cycle maintenance from Halfords, presented by Simon Mayo.
Wow!
I was well known as a cycle maintenance expert.
So this is real.
This is real.
So you've been very doing a bit on the side with Halfords.
It's 1987.
I mean, it's very young picture.
It's 1989 actually.
1989.
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, big fan. Yeah.
If you're on breakfast, you got asked to do any old tosh.
Yeah. This is great. So what were your tips in the maintenance?
I have no idea. No. How to maintain
deflate
a bicycle.
Deflate the tyre? No? Something
can't
like that.
We can get some clips. Apparently the full version is still available on YouTube.
Yep, sure it is.
Everything's on YouTube. Yeah. Plus my Gotcha Oscar.
What was that?
Do you remember the Noel Edmonds Gotcha
thing? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I was on a unicycle.
What?
I was told I was presenting a thing about unicycling. Anyway, it's all up. You have to access. If you look up Gotcha Oscar Mayo unicycle.
Okay, and you were on the unicycle and mm-hmm. out he come dressed as something.
Yeah, but basically I'm being held on the unicycle by the floor manager. Okay. He's supposed to be out of shot, but obviously he isn't out of shot.
Isn't, no.
But
no.
He's shaking it like that.
Oh, and he's the floor manager.
Oh, look at me.
Oh, right.
On my unicycle.
Excellent.
Class.
It's embarrassing TV from the 80s, of which this Halfords video is part of it.
Well, track it down,
No. Couple of mentions to Neil Ogden, Eddie Howard, LJM, Janine Moore, Paul Frame, Helen Duxbury and Linda G, who are amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase, which last week was, of course, Howard Two Jars, hyphens placement, user's choice. So if you had hyphens, they were acceptable. Without hyphens, they were also acceptable because we're kind of liberal.
We are like that,
anything
aren't we?
Anything goes.
Yeah. Hyphen in between Howard and Two or Two and Jars, however you like.
Or Howard and Jars,
You can't...
Yeah. Anyway, move on.
The word two is between Howard and Jars.
Exactly, isn't it? So that's where the hyphen would go. Anyway, moving on.
Wow.
No, if you took out the word two, it would be an apostrophe.
There would be two hyphens. Be
hyphen, apostrophe, hyphen.
I hate to say I'm right again on this one, but I am right.
So wrong.
Anyway, it's time for the section that is completely off the hymn sheet. We're going for the Mark Knopfler section, starting with Ron. All right, Ron, I totally understand that being desperate for the toilet, I was one of those, whilst driving can be very stressful and annoying, depending on who you're with, I suppose. However, driving 50 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone.
Oh, what?
Almost hitting an old man crossing the road and tailgating anyone that wasn't at your desired speed is incredibly dangerous and illegal.
No.
We don't approve of this kind of thing.
Don't approve at all.
Just go in your trousers. That's the word. That's got to be the advice, isn't it?
Well,
I think it probably is the advice, isn't it? Yeah. You could. Anyway.
Just stop.
Stop the car.
Stop the car.
On the motorway, you can't.
No, that's true.
No, but he's not on a motorway because it was a 30.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd come off the motorway and then was in the 30 and then.
Knock on someone's door and say, can I use your loo? Thanks very much. Here's a quid.
I'm not. I would never.
Don't do that.
Never,
that's a
ever.
Thing to do.
Plus, knocking on someone's door for a number two.
Would you let someone in?
No, not for a quid. Particularly if it was a number two. Absolutely no way.
It was never said that it was a number two.
Well, that's what the implication was. I'm pretty sure it said number two. Anyway.
Being desperate for the toilet.
Right.
Anyway,
that was Ron sorted. Dave.
Don't knock on my door. Anyway,
Dave, how many times do we need to say no laxative confessions?
Ugh,
yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you hated your boss or how mean he was to you, they are never going to make it onto the radio, period. That is it. Yep. There is no more conversation about this kind of stuff. It's just not right.
Nope.
No.
It's definitely wrong.
Yeah.
We don't want to see any of that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking now on behalf of particularly of Holly Carnegie,
who
won't stand for that kind of thing. Correct?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Won't stand for it.
Right, it's time to return to the pews to continue this week's confessional with Roger's Eggy Tale, Plants and Birds and Rocks and Things, which obviously is a reference to America, Horse with No Name. 5 points.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Rog. In deepest France. Simon, Matt, Susie and the rest of the team. This tale relates to an event from back in the winter of 2005-2006. It's just one of the many moments from one of the many charity banger rallies that head out across and around the Sahara to the Gambia in West Africa. Takes 2 days Sorry, it takes 21 days. Takes 21 days, roughly, to finish the 4,400 miles through France, Spain, Morocco, Western Sahara, Mauritania, Senegal, all in an unsuitable non-ULEZ compliant car. I have since repeated the exercise 7 more times. Nothing compares to this one, the first. Someone assaulting the cars with a tub of pink paint, that was fun. A huge live crab secreted on the backseat of another, that was fun. But just a minor prank in comparison. This time, the 200 cars that left Dover separated into smaller groups. Our car had made it as far as a hotel in Marrakesh and made an interesting sight in the car park, with clouds of steam and smoke emanating from many of the vehicles. Any clapped-out car you can think of was represented by our team. Some of the other hotel guests were driving huge, swanky, expensive 4x4s. They were resplendent in their Dakar regalia. Hello. These were the swanky show-off guys who clearly thought they were in a Mad Max film. Leathers, chains, tattoos, growls, and the smell of petrol everywhere. Just your kind of person, yeah. Matt, really.
Chains.
Next morning at breakfast, we found a magnificent buffet, including a large bowl of hard-boiled eggs in the dining room. When the Dakar group arrived, they all made their choices and sat at a long table, sniffing derisively at us in the banger group. They growled, compared tattoos, sniffed each other for petrol.
What?
There was, in my imagination, Toe Cutter, Mud Guts and Warrior Woman, and all their friends. There they were, all lined up. And then, as one, they picked up their hard-boiled eggs and, with noisy, merry aplomb, cracked the eggs against their foreheads before peeling them.
What?
Then, after a day of sightseeing in the city, we happened upon a market stall that sold fresh eggs. And a thought occurred. Next morning, during an early breakfast, the top layer of the hard-boiled eggs bowl was mysteriously replaced with fresh eggs from the souk. The preposterous Dakars subsequently arrived and repeated the previous day's routine. Toe Cutter, Mud Guts and Warrior Woman all picked up their eggs and headbutted them at the same time. Well, Father Simon, mayhem ensued. Smashed shell, runny yolk and glutinous egg white went everywhere. Ears, eyes, mouths, then running all over their designer-made, ripped Mad Max-style clothing. Looking back on it, I'm sure Toe Cutter, Mud Guts and Warrior Woman were actually called Sebastian, Jeremy and Pippi Longstocking because all is fair in the desert, especially if your opponents are wearing tactical vests, holsters and headdresses to go with their Versace leather jeans.
Ugh.
For the record, the following day, all the hard-boiled eggs had been ready-peeled by the chefs. I think if they happen to be listening, an apology is owed to only the hotel cleaning staff. I have no idea who was responsible for this jest, honestly. I think forgiveness from prank-hating Susie is unlikely, but in the realms of national pride, others may side with the bangers. Best regards, Rog, who is already in deepest France, just in case it doesn't go his way. Prank-hating Susie, what do you say to Rog in deepest France?
Well, yeah, Rog is right. I don't like a prank. And, you know, just because they were doing something silly doesn't mean you need to make it even sillier by replacing it with, you know, raw eggs. So that,
they do sound ludicrous, these Dakar
cleaning
types.
Cleaning that up. Can you imagine feeling the egg white go down in your ear? Ugh, no, thank you. And Roger's like, right, I do like a prank, and I'm not going to forgive him.
Okay, well, that went as expected. Brother Matthew.
I'm pretty sure I speak for the nation when I say I'm going to forgive because of the posh boys with their eggs, and they've got all the gear and no idea, and they're all staying in nice hotels, and yet they're still wearing their leather and chain. Why are they wearing chains? Chains doesn't make any sense. Don't need that in the car. It's only going to get very hot.
Because it's a Mad Max thing.
It is a Mad Max thing, but still don't need any chains. And they should have checked the eggs. Check the eggs before you crack it on your head. That is my rule of thumb. Got me through many a buffet.
Is that right?
For all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
If you're going for a buffet, always remember your tactical vest, holster and headdresses.
Obviously.
Always important.
Check the eggs.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Ha.
How would you check the egg?
Mm-hmm. Check the egg for how would you check the egg? Yeah. Well, you tap it lightly and then put it to your ear, give it a little rattle, and if you hear anything, then that's a bad egg. If you don't hear anything, then it's fine.
But how can you tell if it's been cooked or not?
Well, because you've tapped it first and then rattled it by your ear.
Why does it rattle?
Exactly. But it shouldn't rattle.
But why
shouldn't rattle
it?
If it's been
and how might
correctly
it
cooked? Well, it might rattle, mightn't it? If it does rattle, don't open the egg. If it rattles, put it backles. That's what we say. It's a very easy to remember little thing.
If it rattles, put it backles.
Oh, dear.
If it was an egg shaker, which is obviously...
An egg shaker.
Yeah, shaky egg. Yeah, like an egg shaker, like the musical instrument, like...
Oh, right, okay, yes.
Then it would rattle.
I would know I was
okay.
In a musical or something. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That would also work.
How does an egg rattle sound?
Like an egg shaker. It's like a sort of... It's a shaker, but in the shape of an egg.
Shape of an egg, yeah.
And it just goes like... If you were like sort of shaking it in that sort of manner.
Yeah. Like an exotic dancer kind of thing.
No.
Not quite.
Only them anywhere near the eggs.
The eggs might curdle.
Well, yes.
Do eggs
of our
curdle?
Problems. Do they curdle? They do.
Do they?
Because they're dairy. Well, almost dairy. Are they?
What?
They're not dairy.
They're near the
dairy.
They just go off and stinky.
In Asda. But they are not dairy.
Are they off the cow? No, they're not.
So they're not dairy.
Wow.
Same aisle though.
So a mixed reaction on the people's verdict for Rog, including one that made Matt do a strange voice. I mean, even stranger than normal.
Mm. And Tim from Southern Coalfield says, easily forgiving this one. Brilliant confession. I guess the yolk was on them. I love that. The yoke was on them. Good work.
Enough. Well still to come on the Confessions podcast. We are back at St. Custard's for Nigel's school song confession. No more pencils, no more books, no more teachers' dirty looks. But first, it's Huggy Bear's confession. Good heavens, Miss Sakamoto, you're beautiful.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Dear Simon, Matt and the Confessional Collective, I would like to humbly step forward and unburden myself of a scientific sin committed many years ago, back when I was an 18-year-old student sitting my science baccalaureate in Luxembourg. I think we've had one other confession from Luxembourg, but this is number two.
Yeah.
As part of the practical exam, we were required to prepare a Petri dish, pour in a gel, cut precise little wells into it, and then carefully pipette in various solutions to observe their reactions. I was doing surprisingly well. The gel was set, the cuts were neat, and I was feeling quietly confident and rather proud of myself. That was until disaster struck. As I leant over to fill the final hole with solution, my hand suddenly twitched, a rogue spasm of doom, and I squeezed far too hard. Solution overflowed, spilling out of the final well and contaminating all of the others. What had moments before been a pristine Petri dish of perfection was now a runny mess of cross-contaminated chaos. So that's a pristine Petri dish of perfection turning into a cross-contaminated piece of chaos.
Oh,
a little bit of alliteration on the way there.
Yeah.
Huggy Bear says, I froze, knowing this experiment accounted for a significant chunk of my final grade, and I was done for. But then an opportunity presented itself. The examiner, a stern woman with all the presence of Paul Hollywood mid-scone inspection, was making her rounds.
Excellent.
I had moved faster than my classmates, so she reached my station while others were still cutting holes in their gels. Fully expecting me to be at the same stage as my peers, she picked up my dish to check if the gel had set, tilting it ever so slightly. This was my chance. With all the mock horror and acting skills I could muster, I gasped, Mais non, quelle horreur, Madame le Professeur, qu'avez-vous fait? Oh dear, the horror.
Oh, because we're in Luxembourg. I was wondering what was going on there.
I'm not just speaking French randomly.
You know, it makes sense.
What have you done, Madame le Professeur?
Yeah.
And I looked at her as if she had just drop-kicked my future into oblivion. To la ruine. We're still in Luxembourg.
Yeah, we are.
You've ruined it, I said, looking at her wide-eyed as though she had tragically mixed all my perfectly placed solutions. Tout est perdu! All is lost. Ma vie est finie, my life is over. Drama queen.
Wow.
Well, Madame la Professeur looked horrified. She apologized profusely, taking all the blame for the failure of my experiment, trying to fix and make things better. She told me I would not be judged beyond that point. Mais non, tout ira bien. You'll be fine, she says. And that, Father Simon, is how I managed to turn my own clumsy science catastrophe into someone else's fault. I passed the exam and have carried the guilt in my pipetting hand ever since. Rest assured that I have not touched or gone near a lab or lab equipment ever since and moved my career into an entirely different field. I now place this confession before you, hoping for absolution or at least a slightly tilted verdict. Yours in sin and in science, Huggy Bear. Brackets, not my real name.
Oh, amazing.
There you go.
Nice.
Okay, well, there is a lot of ingenuity here. So Huggy Bear, clearly it's his own fault. And then because the situation presented himself, he made Madame la Professeur take all the blame. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Yeah, very clever, Huggy Bear. But essentially, you know, you'd be quite good on the drama, I feel, because the overacting, oh my goodness.
Tu as ruiné!
Exactly. And just for that reason alone, I can't forgive you.
I think there's a little bit of a beret wearing.
There is, isn't there? I like it.
From Huggy Bear. What do you say, Matthew?
So I'm going to forgive, because really, it's quite straightforward, this one. Whose fault is this? It's Madame la Professeur's fault, because she's the one picking up the Petri dish when she should have checked before she picked it up. Don't be going willy-nilly with your Petri dishes. That's what they teach you in chemistry school. Mm. Yeah. So she should have looked and she didn't look. And so it's all down to you, Madame la Professeur. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
I'm glad you remembered that we were in Luxembourg.
Otherwise,
the whole thing would have been very, very strange.
Not at all.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Nigel. Thank you, Nige. And it does say, at the beginning, you might as well use the real name of the school. However, we have decided not to.
Right, good idea.
Okay.
Which is why it goes like this. Father Simon, Brother Matt, and the Sisters of Solitary Confinement. The recent bout of school prize-giving confessions reminded me of an event that took place 25 years ago and for which I have never sought forgiveness. I attended a secondary school which was named St. Custard's.
Okay.
Now,
yes.
Back in the day, I have to say, St. Custard's had ideas above its station. It actually had a picture of the original St. Custard in the corridor that we bowed to as we walked past. Think royalty.
Okay.
And the staff liked to remind us of its famous former pupils. A list of three consisting of an actor from LOLO, a Yorkshire and England cricketer, and a journalist who wrote about beer. I hope that's vague enough.
Yes.
Whenever this list was recited in school assemblies, myself and my partner in crime, the future Reverend Gherkin, not his real name, would nod at each other and mutter, "Jesus came to this school, you know." So the headmaster liked to tell us that St. Custard's was no bog-standard comprehensive, and on one occasion, in a moment of mania, he even announced that it was the best school in the world. Huh. Father Simon, it was 14th in the council league table. Perhaps the most pretentious aspect of this very bog-standard comprehensive school was that it had a school song with a chorus in Latin, which went, "Floreat scola, floreat scola, floreat scola, Armand Berensis." Mm. A call for the good people of the village in which the school was located to allow scholarship to flourish. Perhaps some of the teachers could have taken this to heart. As many schools did, we had annual prize-giving ceremonies. In keeping with the school's pretentious nature, they took place in the town hall and usually involved a very long and very boring speech from some dignitary. The best year was when the aforementioned cricketer was invited to speak, and when the time came for his speech, we pupils sat on stage staring out at the audience in front of us, got comfy and prepared to endure the usual dull tales meant to inspire. The cricketer stood up, thanked the school for the invitation and the gift he'd been given, and then said, "Nice one," and sat down again.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Resulting in two panicked teachers jumping up to switch on the tea urn 30 minutes earlier than expected. We loved him for this and thought it was the best speech ever, but he was never invited back. The Speaker of the Year for which I seek absolution was an MP who represented one of the local constituencies but lived 200 miles away. He droned on and on about who knows what, and even some of the teachers were beginning to drift off. It was during this speech that I and the Reverend Gherkin quietly hatched a plan. As the MP finally sat down and the parents in attendance dutifully clapped themselves awake, the organ gave the first notes of Floreat Scholar, Floreat Scholar, Armand Buriensis. We pupils took to our feet, unenthusiastically intoned the words of the first verse, and when we reached the chorus, the Reverend Gherkin and I gave it our very best. We sang, "Flog me a Skoda, flog me a Skoda, flog me a Skoda at half the price." When the second chorus rolled around, a few of our fellow pupils in the immediate vicinity joined in with our version. At the third chorus, many more were singing the remix. By the fourth, there were a few obvious titters in the audience, and some of the teachers in front of us were glancing warningly at the cast of once unwilling, now very enthusiastic singers. By the end, everyone on stage, and many parents too, were imploring the town hall to sell them a cheap motor. Father Simon, I don't see forgiveness from the visibly raging headmaster. That year's performance of the school song was the most rousing I heard during my 5 years there. Or from the clearly confused MP, who spoke for 25 minutes more than his allotted half hour, thus forcing us to hatch a plan as a means of keeping ourselves awake. I don't seek forgiveness from those receiving their awards that year, as the memory we gave them was far better than the photocopied certificate and book of insipid poetry handed over on stage. I do, however, seek forgiveness from Mrs. T, our long-suffering form tutor, who undoubtedly knew that we were the instigators of this performance, but she never said a word. She has long since retired, and this secret has no doubt burdened her for over a quarter of a century. It is high time that she was delivered and relieved of her, of that burden. Yours, Nigel. Well, it's I always like to have speech day confessions like this, particularly if there's a school song. Because nobody needs a school song anymore. No. Floreat Scholar, flog me a Skoda. What do you say, Sister Susie?
Oh, I really like this, Nige. I think, you know, it's a bit harmless. It was a while ago. You were a child. And, you know, if that MP is talking for that long, then surely you're going to need something else to do as a teenager. And I think that's a fabulous use of time. And I don't know, maybe it's the heat or maybe Matt's rubbing off on me, but I'm going to forgive.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe it's the gin.
I haven't had any yet.
Oh, OK. Of course. No, we're all working. Matthew, what do you say?
I'm going to forgive. Like you, I instinctively distrust schools where they're singing in Latin. Why are you singing in Latin? That makes no sense. You're 14th in the league table. You should be concentrating more on what you're teaching rather than singing in Latin. So, yes, I'm definitely going to forgive. And my instinct is that Mrs. T loved it as well. Couldn't say it at the time. Obviously very professional. That's what Mrs. T strikes me as. But once she retired, she would regale everyone with the story about the selling me a Skoda. So, yes, I am definitely going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Flogging a Skoda, it sounds like school assemblies where you just changed all the words to carols and hymns and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, 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 we all did that.
Which
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Did you do that, Holly?
No.
You probably didn't have those kind of things. When you were at school, like 2 years ago.
You've got to maintain high standards.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Otherwise, what's the point?
Did you have hymn practice? We used to have hymn practice.
Hymn practice?
Yes.
Yeah.
You used to practice the hymns. That's what it was.
Yeah, I know, but like the choir had hymn practice.
No, this is everybody.
But no, really everyone does, yes. Mm. Okay.
But did you not do that?
No.
This country's going downhill.
Yeah, what is going on?
I mean, you can't say anything these days. Did you ever have hymn practice, Suze?
I don't think we had hymns. Yes. I don't think we practiced them.
No wonder this.
Yes, gone to the dogs.
Yes. Matt, did you have hymn practice?
Yeah, we had hymn practice, yes.
Did you?
Yeah. And, every other
year?
Wednesday.
Well, yeah, you don't remember any of that.
No, there was a lot of
recorder practice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, that's good enough. And what songs did you play with your recorder?
A Three Blind Mice.
They all sound the same, really, don't they? Mm.
Grand Old Duke of York.
It's all the same.
Yeah. And 10,000 Men.
Did he?
Couldn't help
but. Wowza.
What did you do with them?
March them up to the top of the hill.
Yeah, and then?
March them down again.
Okay. Yep. That about wraps up another week of confessions. Thank heavens for that. If you've been inspired by any of them, I'd be very surprised. But if you have, send your confession, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Brother Matt has this week's code phrase.
Yes, and this week's code phrase is, if it rattles, put it backles. If it rattles, put it back.
That's not even a word.
Instead, try putting that on your predictive text. It's not going to work, is it?
No, it's not.
I like it.
Anyway, thank you for getting this far. You can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads, or you can post it on Blue Sky, where I am just Simon Mayo. Mm-hmm. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in the shower and leave us a glowing 5-star review. And don't forget to pick up a copy of the podcast at your local podcast shop.
Yes.
We'll be back next week with another bunch of confessions. Until then, from the pub, though strangely in our studio, Sister Susie says... From the cupboard of tat, Sister Holly says...
See you later, alligator.
You haven't given out any tat this week.
No, that's true.
What's wrong with you?
Well, we don't have to give out tat every week.
Well, what's it in the cupboard for if we're not going to use
only
it?
Only when people deserve it. So I think you send in some decent email that requests tat. I'm not just giving it out willy-nilly.
No.
Is that right? So okay.
Yeah.
So if you're desperate for a little bit of tat from the cupboard, confessions at greatestitsradio.co.uk.
But
it's quite a high bar.
Mm. It is, yeah.
I think. Yeah. Anyway, and Brother Matthew says...
Goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed for listening. There'll be another podcast with you next week.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.